Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Tuesday. We have Tom Verducci joining us today, one of the best in the business, MLB Network, SI.com, baseball insider on the Diamondbacks, getting ready for the Dodgers tonight. I'm sick of seeing the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. They played way too much in the first 6 weeks of the season, but they play again in L.A. That is tonight. I want to talk to Tom about all these injuries, the interest in John Lackey. They signed Clay Buchholz on Friday. Where this team is with their contracts with A.J. Pollock and Patrick Corbin coming up to free agency at the end of this season. How do you work Zach Greinke's deal in? All that with Tom Verducci. That comes up at 10:20. Eddie Johnson's going to be with us today. Looking forward to visiting with E.J. It has been 2,904 days since the Suns had a playoff game. That breaks down to 418 weeks. That breaks down to 96 months. It breaks down to 69,698 hours since there's been a playoff game by the Phoenix Suns. But they've hired a coach. The lottery is a week from today. A week from today. It can all flip with the number one pick, the Phoenix Suns. Let me reach down inside this basket here. This one is cold. Well, that's the Suns. We don't want the cold one for the Suns. Holla! The Suns with the fourth pick in the NBA draft. That means Sesmat can go to 41,817,060 minutes since there was a playoff game in Phoenix. How many of you think it's going to be the fourth pick? Show of hands, because that's what I'm hearing. Eric's got his hand high. You think that this is not going to go well next week?
Like I said, any other year, I'd be really excited for Mo Bamba, but yeah, not Mo this Bamba. Year. No, seriously, he's a really good player.
But oh,
he's,
yeah.
He's not DeAndre
he's
Ayton.
He's not DeAndre Ayton.
He's not Marvin Bagley.
Yeah. I know. But so you're expecting next week to be a total fail.
I don't know how it can be, but it is a Phoenix professional sports team and a lottery, and whether it's the Suns, the Coyotes, whatever,
it just doesn't
usually
work.
Usually just doesn't end well.
Doesn't go well.
It's when it's like you expect the worst and hope for the best.
Hold that thought for a second. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You need life insurance. That is what you need. Guys, log on, get your free quote online. It's Sagicor Now. Don't put it off. You got to protect your family, protect what matters most. Do it with Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Do you see the Suns are having Josh Jackson as their good luck charm?
I did.
Come on. No offense to Josh, but if you're not even invited to the All-Star game at the midpoint of the season because you're just not playing well, that's the best you've got? I don't know. I would send Al.
Ooh, that's a good call.
I would send Al.
That's a good call.
Al went through hell this year. Al yeah. McCoy, the voice of the Suns. Could you imagine? Al went through hell. He showed up for work every day knowing that he was going to cover a team that was going to get their ass kicked or that was trying to intentionally lose. And he had to describe it with the same vigor and excitement that he's done for all these years. Why not have, hey, Al, you've been through so much here. We're going to fly you to Chicago. We're going to put you up in the nicest hotel. We're going to send you to the nicest restaurants. You're going to go party on us for 48 hours. You're going to be the good luck charm. You're going to stand up there. Josh Jackson? Just me. So when I saw that, I was just a little disappointed. Will it go down in Suns lore and Suns history if the Suns get the number one pick that Josh Jackson was the key to turn it all around? Or will it go down as they got the fourth pick and why, what the heck are you doing? What were you thinking? And, you know, why doesn't Robert go? Robert needs to be out front and go through this. Robert, it's good to see you here at the lottery again. This time, you have a really good shot because you were the worst team in the NBA. Josh Jackson? Josh, stay here and work on your game in Chicago. We don't want you to go to Chicago. It ain't bad to happen. So I was a little disappointed in that. Eric's going to go to there is a party next week. Did I read this right? Did you see that they are going to hold it in the bowl?
They are.
Which means much different than just the little media center. They're expecting a lot of fans to show up.
You're in the bowl right now. Look at yourself.
I am in the bowl.
Yep.
But it's a much bigger. Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
That's true. I am over the corner.
I don't think there'll be quite that many people there. But
yeah. This is a shot
from where it's going to be.
2009.
Probably like the Planet Orange peak you know, 7 seconds or less.
There's Trophy
era.
Guy.
Yeah.
There's Trophy
exactly.
Guy over there.
If you look closely, you can probably see Amari and Coach D'Antoni. And
Section 114. Eric Sorensen made it tonight. Hey, yeah. There's Eric.
Let's just hope for
Vince
the best.
Vince Murata
Brad.
Calling you out. You know, it'd be great.
Let's just hope for the best.
Yeah, because we have a stake in this.
Even the second pick, I'm going to be disappointed. But
serious?
Yeah. Because I want DeAndre Ayton, of course.
But you know, with...
I'd be fine with Bagley or whoever they
with
take.
With Igor coming here, Doncic is going to be...
I mean, Doncic would make sense if they have the second pick.
That's the way they're going.
Or the third pick.
What if you traded out of one?
No.
What if you traded back from one to four?
No.
What if you traded back from one to three and still get the guy? Like Danny Ainge, okay? So Danny traded back, remember?
I do.
Celtics had the pick. They traded back. He has the number one pick of the Lakers next year. The Lakers may not be very good again. That's
well,
very
if they
smart.
Get, if they get LeBron and Paul George.
But the point is he set them up. Now, I understand that this team, if you're sitting there with a number one overall pick, could you trade that number one overall pick and go get an established veteran, which they need, a very good all-star player? Could you go get that and immediately get out of the ditch and still get a first-round pick, a high first-round pick? You know, if you drop from one to three or one to four and you pick up more assets, and you know how it drives me crazy with the assets thing, but if you look at a team that's maybe going through a change, a transformation.
I would usually say yes, but the Suns need a big so bad, so bad.
But they need a point guard.
But they need a big... Point guards are easier to get than really good.
Why haven't they had one then?
I don't know.
I mean, when they tell us that when they go get Peyton from Orlando and try to make it like this is the second coming and it's not. I mean, come on, go solve the issue.
But I'm not one, Brad, to overhype someone. And until I actually saw DeAndre Ayton play with my two eyes.
Yeah.
Like the guy's ridiculous, and he's only been playing basketball for what, five years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be – he's about as surefire of an NBA star as you can get. And if you're sitting there at number one, you know, the Suns could be that team again. You know, like, hey, we traded out at number one, and guess what? We got the second coming of Armin Gilliam. Oh, great.
Armin Gilliam.
and fill in the blank, you know, DeAndre Ayton went on to be a 10-time All-Star. And
right. So you don't trust them. You think this franchise is jinxed because you've been here all your life. You're making it sound like there's this thing over the top of them.
They tried so hard to be so bad, and they successfully had the worst record in the NBA.
Yeah.
Just if you happen to get the right combination and you get the number one pick, just take DeAndre Ayton. Even if he's a bust, no one is going to blame you.
This is Greg Oden part two.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But do you like me coming on and saying it's day number 2,904? There's because this isn't going to change until they win. This is I'm going to go get a billboard that has the Arizona lottery type numbers on it. I may go sit on that billboard and
don't
just say
that. You're too old for that.
Just say, come on, Robert. Come
your,
on.
Your
man.
Knees are bad.
My knees are bad. But I care. At least I care. Most people around town don't care. Most people would say,
well, the Suns, Brad, they've reached apathy. I mean, if you went to any of their games last year, I went to the game against the Celtics, and it
friends
was
and
just,
family.
All Celtics fans, and people could – it was –
it's a Celtics convention
people
tonight.
Could care less about what was happening on the court. Everyone was on their phones. They were watching TV somewhere else in the suite, blah, blah, yeah. blah. They just didn't care.
Did you – last night I watched Philadelphia and Boston. T.J. McConnell – is a case study for anybody that wants to keep playing the game of basketball.
And right fit, right team.
Correct.
He has that, even though he is from Pittsburgh, he has that Philly mentality to
him. He has a grit.
And he's a really good player.
So last night, here's TJ McConnell, who, by the way, is making $1.4 million, which is a pittance in the NBA. It's not a pittance to most anybody watching this, but it's a pittance in the NBA. And they got to get themselves back in the series. And so Brett Brown decides to make a decision and change up his lineup. And he said, we're going to get TJ McConnell in there. And TJ goes 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in 39 minutes. Now, there's some that believe the Celtics just had a night of, yeah, whatever. Let's just stretch this thing out. It's the playoffs. It'll bring better ratings. And the conspiracy theorists are out today that Boston just rolled over and crashed out. I don't agree with that because they know that Cleveland is coming. And Cleveland did what... was pretty darn impressive. The number one seed was Toronto, and they just chewed them up and spit them out like they were a speed bump. Cavaliers rolled 4-0. As Eric and I were talking yesterday, Eric had this point of it's just a bunch of guys and LeBron James. Well, it's not exactly that, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. And so when I watched what went on last night with Cleveland and how they just destroyed the Raptors, the only thing that really caught me was Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood today, if you've not followed this, Rodney Hood refused to go in the game last night for Cleveland. It was under 8 minutes to go. The game was over. Tyronn Lue said, go into the game. And Rodney Hood said, no. Now, the Cavaliers today, it's being leaked out, are not going to suspend him, not going to take any action against him. And I'm going to talk to Eddie Johnson about this. Did he ever play alongside of somebody who refused to go into a game? Has he ever seen that? Of course, EJ does his great work over on SiriusXM and is the Suns analyst. We'll have EJ on in about 20 minutes. But up next, Tom Verducci. The great Tom Verducci with the MLB Network on the Diamondbacks and where they are from a national point of view. That's next. I'm Brad Susmat. So let's take a deeper dive into the Diamondbacks. Tonight's game at Los Angeles against the Dodgers. I'm flat sick of seeing Diamondbacks Dodgers. It's only the second week of May. And these two teams have already played one another at home and on the road, coming through their second time. They won't face one another again until September. It's kind of like Red Sox Yankees, which is tonight over on MLB Network. That leads us into Tom Verducci with the MLB Network at SI.com, giving us a national view of the Diamondbacks with their series against the Dodgers and where Torrey Lovello's team stands, injuries, and so on and so forth. Tom, I appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
What strikes you from a distance about the Arizona Diamondbacks and their 23-11 mark so far?
Well, I'm sure if you mention you're tired of seeing the Dodgers Diamondbacks, I think the Dodgers are tired of seeing that series too. I can't tell you I'm too surprised maybe at the extent that the wins have been piling up here. But, you know, I pegged them as a playoff team. I really believed in everything that they did last year in terms of changing the culture there with Torrey Lovello and Mike Hayes. And I'm a big believer in when the best players are guys like Goldschmidt and Pollock, who are real grinders, they really set the tone for a team. So I just kind of like the culture they've established there. So for me, I think the fact that they've taken advantage of the fact that Dodgers have been beaten up even more so than the D-backs themselves, they've built themselves a little bit of a cushion. If you believe that division goes through the Dodgers, which mm-hmm. you have to because that's what it's done the last 3-4 years, I'm not saying they've won a division. You can't really win it early, but you can lose a division early. I think they're in good shape right now.
The players out here that are getting the most attention are the two guys that are going to be free agents, and that's Patrick Corbin and AJ Pollock. To say they've made a lot of money the first 6 weeks of the year, I would think is an understatement. Would you agree, or do you think, come on, Brad, it's 6 weeks in?
No, I think you're right. I mean, listen, Pollock to me has always been a valuable player. Really, only the injuries in past years, I think, have kind of kept him out of a public national consciousness anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of the guys, one of the early adapters when it comes to this launch angle revolution, hitting more balls in the air. And, you know, it's something that he's actually taken to a little bit more of an extreme this year. There's more swing and miss in this game, but the power is just through the roof, slugging over 600 and, you know, piling up the extra base hits. It's a swing that definitely plays. I remember Jake Lamb telling me in spring training that he actually used Pollock as a template himself. He asked his teammate, he said, man, it looks like you're always on time, whether it's an off-speed pitch or a fastball. How are you able to do that? Because I can only be on time when I guess right. And that's when Pollock went into some of the mechanics of his swing, and Jake made some of those adjustments himself. But it's a good example to me, Pollock, and of course when J.D. Martinez was there last year, probably the most famous example, that changing your swing once you get to the major league level can have a really big upside. So I think Pollock has definitely played himself to a really big payday. When you talk about having that power as well as a really good defender who plays in the middle of the field, I mean, it's funny when you look back in the offseason and people were writing about this big free agent class that's out there. you know, you heard a lot about Blackman, who signed his extension, obviously Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, possibly Kershaw. You didn't hear a lot about Pollock, but I think he's played his way into that conversation.
Well, and you just wonder, as we're watching him out here, if he's playing his way out of Arizona onto a national stage. He loves it here, and players don't want to talk about it. Is he now above $100 million, which Blackman got? You've got the Greinke contract sitting over to the side, knowing the market limitations here in Phoenix. Do you think he's played his way out of Arizona just from a free agent interest standpoint?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And I think, you know, Blackman probably is a good comp for AJ. And, you know, Blackman, let's face it, you know, it's the only organization he's known out there in Denver. Mm-hmm. And if you're an offensive player, why not stay in that ballpark? And the contract, I thought, was a very fair one. There might have been a slight hometown discount, but when you look at the age of Blackman and you look at what some how age has been treated in recent free agent markets, I think Blackman did pretty well considering, you know, he signed it, he re-signed without actually exercising his free agent rights. So I think that's possible for AJ to do. I don't know how he feels about negotiating during a season. Most guys don't like that idea. Although, listen, if a team comes to any player at any time with a deal that they like, they're not going to say, hey, let's wait until the offseason. If the money is right, guys are going to sign contracts. So I would expect Arizona should make something of a run at him if they haven't already to try to extend him.
Same for Patrick Corbin, too, Tom, right? I mean, here's a guy that has come off injury. They put him in the opening day starter. He's been lights out, terrific. There was a story a few weeks back when they were on the East Coast where he just casually mentioned growing up around the Yankees, and of course that blew up nationally. Is he in the same situation as Corbin? I mean, as Pollock, I'm sorry.
In terms of what his value is?
Yeah, I mean,
he's younger than Pollock. You know, he's, 28, 29, and left-hander. You know, really just, as you mentioned, health is the only thing. And now if he maintains health through the season, you're talking about a guy who's thrown up, two or three years of, you know, almost full health now. And, you know, I got to believe that when you talk about hitting his free agent years at 29, left-handed and the numbers he's put up, I'm not saying it, you know, it's sustainable at this level.
Right.
I mean, his numbers are just crazy good so far. But, you know, anything near approaching his numbers from last year, which is a good year, a solid year last year, I think that he's going to do really well on the market. So, decisions to make for the D-backs in terms of those guys, and expensive ones for sure.
In Mike Kazin's case, Tom, and we're talking with Tom Verducci of MSI.com and MLB Network, Zach Greinke's out here with a $33 million number around him this season, and there's been debate whether or not, even with the quick start, would Mike Kazin dare get out from underneath that contract and go a different direction to free them up for Goldschmidt's deal down the road with Pollock, with Corbin sitting there. What's your view of just the salary structure of Arizona and having so much tied up in Greinke? Is he movable outside of Ken Kendrick writing a big fat check saying, please go?
Yeah, I think everybody's movable, but the question is at what price, right? How much money are you willing to eat to basically buy down the average annual value to him? I don't see it happening during the season. You know, it might have been something. You heard a lot of rumors in the off season about just kind of exploratory talks about whether that was possible. And I think those will probably accelerate in the off season because of the guys that you mentioned and the guys they want to keep, and especially Goldschmidt. It's a big ticket going forward for a guy who's in his mid-30s now. You see the decrease in velocity. I happen to think that Zach is one of the guys who can still be effective without, you know, his A-plus fastball. You're starting to see that now. It's sort of a transition period for him, and I think he can do that. And I thought when they signed the contract, I thought it was a good buy because I do think, as opposed to most pitchers who rely on velocity, I thought he would age well as a starting pitcher because he's got a good command of the ball. And he's got a real good feel for off-speed pitches. He's never had a major arm injury. So for all those reasons, I thought it was a good buy, but when you think about Arizona, what their limitations are in terms of budget, you know, it's going to be tough to continue to fit that mid $30 million contract in year after year if you want to keep some of these everyday players as well.
In terms of the rotation, with the injuries to Taijuan Walker and Robbie Ray's shut down for at least now, they signed Clay Buchholz last week. He's supposed to throw on a farm start sometime this week. Shelby Miller's throwing today over at Salt River Fields. John Lackey's name's been kicked around out here. What do you make out of the replacements that Mike Hazen has brought in? Do they make sense? Would a guy like Lackey make sense in Arizona?
You know, I thought Lackey threw the ball pretty well last year. I'm a little bit surprised nobody, and maybe he didn't want to do this, but nobody brought him into camp at a minor league deal to take a look at him. I do think he has something to offer on a limited basis, same with Buchholz. Pretty good placeholders. I mean, you don't want to rely on those guys to be making 20, 25 starts for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lackey is such a competitor. Obviously, you know, there's some history there with Hazen and Lovello. I think it's a pretty good, at least, look to bring him in. I have no idea, you know, what he's been doing as far as keeping his arm in shape and what he can offer. Their depth here is being tested, and they went in with not a lot of depth. And with the injuries you mentioned, Walker and Ray and, you know, Miller to some extent, although you knew he was coming back and it was going to take a while. It's being tested already. Ray is the key for me, you know. Thankfully for the D-backs, it's not an arm issue he's dealing with here, but he's got that disappearing fastball to me. And going back over last year's postseason, I thought when Lovello had to go get Greinke in that game, in the wild card game, mm-hmm. and had to push Robbie Ray into that game, as you know, he ate up the Dodgers during the season. So instead of having him to start game one of that DS series, you know, he got pushed later on, pitched on short rest, and didn't do so well. I think if you win that game with Greinke giving you some length, you can stay away from Ray, and you start the Dodgers series with Robbie Ray, who knows what can happen? I just think that fastball plays against anybody, but he seemed to have the Dodgers' number last year.
That's good. That's a good point. Before I let you go, is this sustainable? From what you're seeing out here, right now they've got a 3.5-game lead over the Rockies. The Dodgers have been beat up. Giants have been beat up. Is this sustainable here in Arizona?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, maybe not quite at this level. I haven't lost a series yet all year. But I think in terms of being the best team in the division, I think it is. Now, in no way, shape, or form, but I'm writing off the Dodgers. You know, and I'm sure the Diamondbacks sit here today knowing the Dodgers have a run in them. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to be like that crazy run they had last year, but they're going to get back in this thing. They're too deep and they're too talented. Colorado is going to be there. I think we know that. I've liked what they've done with their bullpen. You're starting to see them win games now with their bullpen. Their starting pitching is just okay. But a lot of swing and miss stuff out of that pen. So it's a really good division. It's an interesting division. The Giants, to me, obviously better than last year. I don't consider them a true playoff team at this point. You know, they just injuries to them as well, with Cueto out now for 6 to 8 weeks. That really hurts them. So, yeah, I would say on paper, I like the Diamondbacks' chances to win the division. And, I did pick the Dodgers going in, but right now, after the first 5-6 weeks, yeah, I think Diamondbacks' division to win right now.
Yeah, and good stuff there. I know you have Red Sox, Yankees tonight on MLB Network out here on the West Coast. We'll be watching Diamondbacks, Dodgers. Appreciate the insight, Tom, as always. Thanks.
You got it. Thank you.
It's Tom Verducci with us. Good stuff there. SI.com, MLB Network Insider. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. After this timeout, we'll switch gears over to the NBA. Eddie Johnson's view of the Suns' new hire as head coach. Becky Hammon, a place for a female as a coach in the NBA, as a head coach. To me, there is, obviously. And LeBron and all the playoff stuff. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, on Fox Sports Arizona with 16 airings per week. We appreciate the partnership with them. One of the downsides to living here in our great state is the weather is pretty darn good, even when it's hot. So going out and golfing ends up being a real excuse for some people to not show up on the show. They're always busy because they're out working on their golf game. Eddie Johnson is one of those people. He's always working on his golf game. So your golf game must be really good. I appreciate you coming on with us. You know I'm giving you a hard time because I've been chasing you for a while.
Well, yeah, but I wish that that's true. But, you know, right now, during this time of the season, Brad, I'm actually working on my radio show like you.
No, I know. You do a great job on Sirius.
Yeah, my show is from 1 to 4 Pacific time. And, you know, Sirius XM, NBA Radio 86. So that's what I do every day. And right now is the best time of the year because we're talking NBA.
We're talking NBA playoffs, but we'll start with the Suns because you and I both know we would like to see the team get back into you being on the road in May and in June. What did you make out of the coaching hire and the direction that the team is going to go?
Well, you know, look, I'm definitely familiar with Igor. You know, he was the Suns' assistant for a number of years. And he's proven himself in Utah, specifically, with the improvement of a lot of players. Ricky Rubio, I think, stands out more than anything in improving his ability to take shots, make shots, have confidence. So we know that about him. And, you know, here's the thing, though. You know, when you elevate the head coach, then you designate. Mm-hmm. And now that assistant that you designate pretty much takes your job. And so I'm expecting that Igor to be very hands-on here. It's a young team, so he can't escape that, I believe. He has to continue to be a assistant coach slash head coach to be able to get his philosophy ingrained in these players. And if he's able to do that, then it will become a successful hire. You know, this is my 18th year coming up. I've been involved with numerous coaching changes. So, you know, I think the bad thing to do is to jump up and down and say, okay, this is the guy, this is the guy. I mean, I thought Jeff Hornacek was the guy. He's an ex-teammate of mine. Mm-hmm. So I think it's always just important to be patient. It's always important to, you know, to at least have some euphoria with the hire and think, okay, possibly this could be it. Because I remember when Mike D'Antoni was hired, people wondered, okay, going to turn out, and guess what, it turned out tremendously well. So I think you hold on to that, but then now you see the process go, and you're patient with it, and you're observing, and you're seeing the improvement in this team, and then you make your decision in a couple of years. I don't know if you make the decision right now.
Because I agree with you on everything you just said. They had to get a coach. Okay, they've got a coach. He has a track record of being here with the organization when they had their greatest success. To me, that doesn't mean a whole lot now other than it helps with marketing, but that's about it. I don't know, Eddie, about him being a head coach in the NBA. I know about him being a head coach overseas with international basketball. But there is a difference in the NBA versus the game abroad. Is there not, from a coaching standpoint? Or, Brad, no, you're missing the point here. He is a head coach. He's done it.
Well, it's different in that, yeah, he coached in Europe, and this is the NBA. But I played in Europe, and I had the best year of my life playing over there. Mm-hmm. And they push you, they teach you, and they repeat the process over and over and over again. And it honestly, Brad, made me a better player. Now, that part is okay. The other part is communication. And I just continue to say that. I don't know Igor past that. And to me, if you're a great communicator, i.e. what we're seeing right now in Brad Stevens, who's not a screamer, he's not a hollerer, mm-hmm. He has the same expression, but yet his players play extremely hard for him. What is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so he's communicating with them. That's all I ever hear from his players, that he's a great communicator, that he gives us confidence, okay? So he has a way of doing that without showing us that he's doing it. Because I guarantee you, if Boston was struggling, and Brad Stevens, how he stands up there, doesn't say anything, looks perplexed sometimes, we would think he didn't know what he was doing. So, I mean, I think that's what Igor has to battle. And I'm not saying that just because he did not coach over here yet, that could be a struggle for him, because he's been around head coaches in the league. He's been an assistant coach for 18 years, so I would like to think he picked a lot of things up. But here's my thought on all of this when it comes to coaching. I'm all for assistant coaches getting their chance, because a lot of times I get tired of the retread.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like to see guys that put in the work, that do it the way that they want you to do it, right? Like for me, and you know this, I mean, a number of years ago, me as a color analyst, I wanted to get an interview when Mike D'Antoni left.
Yes, you did.
Well, I wasn't, you know, fortunate and blessed enough to make a transition from TV to being a coach, okay, like Doc Rivers was, like Pat Riley was, like Derek Fisher, who just retired, was. Mm-hmm. Some people are just anointed. Some people get past that process, and other people have to go through the gypsy world of being an assistant coach. I wasn't willing to do that because I had young kids. I wasn't going to do it.
Right.
And so because of that, I missed my opportunity to possibly have that chance. And that's okay with me. That was a choice that I made. Igor has sat on the bench with a coach for 18 years. So he's deserving of an opportunity. Now, if it's gonna turn out right or not, I don't know. But what I am happy about is teams are giving assistant coaches an opportunity to show that they can.
But it is fair to say that you yourself could be an assistant coach in this day and age. You have a lot to offer. If it's out of your blood and you're content being a broadcaster and then retire at some point, great. But you could, Eddie, be an assistant coach in the NBA and get yourself into the cycle.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I get offers all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not, it hasn't gone away. I mean, I get offers all the time. But it's just that, my ego said, no, I'm not going to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That's my life. Yeah. I had a right to feel how I wanted to feel.
Sure.
And I'm not upset that I didn't get it my way. So that's the point. And that's why I really support guys that went to do it because, man, it's tough, man. I mean, they're working 12, 14-hour days. They're being called at the last minute to go out of town to go work out a player. Now, I'm not feeling sorry for them. I mean, this is a great life. But I know what it costs in terms of being away from the families and being away from the kids to be in a position to finally get that chance. And that's why I'm always patient when it comes to assistant coaches being hired. More so than I am with ex-head coaches that are hired, and they got fired 2-3 months beforehand, and
right.
I'm trying to figure out, okay, he got fired there, but he's okay to be hired here.
Right.
That part kind of gets me at times.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but at times it does get me. But if I don't know that coach especially, it gets me. So I'm happy for his opportunity, but trust me, I mean, I'll be a critic as well in regard if he doesn't get the job done.
Eddie Johnson with us. Always good to catch up with EJ. You can hear him on Sirius XM 1 to 4 Pacific Time. Does a great job there over on NBA Radio. And, of course, the Suns color analyst. Okay, let's go over to the draft side of this conversation. And the lottery's a week from tonight. If they get the number one pick, do you stay at number one and do you just pick Doncic, or do you pick Ayton, or do you pick Bagley, or do you trade down as Danny Ainge did a couple of years back, which helped him out, set him up? I mean, you look at next Tuesday night, Eddie, there's a lot of different scenarios. Mm-hmm. Assuming they get the number one pick, who do you take or what do you do with that pick?
Yeah, look, I'll be live there as well. I mean, my radio show is broadcasted live there, and so I'll bring them some good luck this time.
There you go.
The odds are in the Suns' favor this time, and so I'm not jinxing them by saying that. That's exactly what it is. The odds are in their favor, and this is the last year this opportunity is going to exist because the league is going to change the system of the lottery, which I totally believe they should. So the Suns, they get a big opportunity here to get the pick. I feel good that they'll get it. And then past that, Brad, everyone has their opinion on who should get drafted. I mean, if you remember years ago when Greg Oden and Kevin Durant came out, right?
Yep.
And Nate McMillan's a good friend of mine. And Nate McMillan said, he said that Greg Oden had the worst workout that he's ever had. Matter of fact, he had to cut it short.
Mm.
Because the kid was almost embarrassing himself, okay? And so later on that night, they did a private workout for him without the media there, and the kid did well, okay? He said Kevin Durant in the public workout had the best workout that he's ever seen in his life, okay? But they chose Greg Oden. So for me, I mean, it is a tough situation if you have the number one pick. I think it's pretty easy. It's easier when you have the number two, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you have the number one, man, you just can't mess up because you're going to be judged by everybody after. Think about it that way. And so, I can't totally say, the names the Suns would look at because I am an employee of the Suns. But
sure.
I'll tell you this. that is a lot of quality basketball players out there. And I don't think they could miss, put it that way. I don't think, like, for instance, it won't be that big of a drop-off as we had from Kevin Durant to Greg Oden. So is it a miss? Of course it's a miss. Think about it. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, how many teams passed up on him?
Yep.
I mean, so we know it's a miss, a potential miss, but I think the Suns will be able to get a quality person. And my thing is, I always say, yeah, it's okay to draft the best player, but it's also good to fit your needs. And I think that's important when you want to build a team around who I think it'll be, Devin Booker. So, you know, for me, I think that's very important.
And so to that end, do you go front court, do you go back court? If you're just doing Sirius XM with me, you're not talking about specifics, what is the need from your view? Is it getting the back court adjusted and straightened out, or is it getting the big man in the middle?
Okay, well, I'll just give you position.
Sure.
I think they obviously need improvement at point guard. They struggled with that because they had a lot of point guards. Is Elfrid Payton the answer? I don't know. He's got to improve his offense, but I do like him as a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
So the point guard position is definitely somewhere to place next to Devin Booker that you always look at, right? Somebody to run next to him. Obviously, an interior presence defensively, take up bulk. Take up space is somebody that I think you should look at as well. Look, the Suns over the last few years have drafted stretch fours, right? You have Bender.
Chris.
You have Marquise Chris.
Yep.
So, I mean, and they're young basketball players. So are you talking about kids that's 19, 20 years old?
Yep.
And I don't know too many kids at 19 and 20. Jason Tatum is an anomaly, okay? I don't want people to look at Jason Tatum. He's a freak of nature, okay? Ben Simmons is a freak of nature. Donovan Mitchell is a freak of nature. You can't look at three players and think that everybody at 19 and 20 should be like this. Or if they're not, they're a failure. No. 24, 25, 26, that's the age when players hit their prime, when they really show you how good they can become. And so patience is important. And so do they go for that? I think they have that. So for me, yeah, point guard, big man, yeah, that's what I would think in that situation. And there's a lot of both of those out there.
Got about a minute left in the segment. I could go all through the playoffs, but I do want to ask you about Rodney Hood. Did you ever play on a team where a player refused to go into a game or, in particular, a playoff game in what happened last night? The Cavaliers this morning saying he's still going to be on the roster, still going to be part of the team. Take me through Rodney Hood and what happened and what if you've seen that before.
In my 18 years of playing basketball, I probably saw it 20 times.
Hmm.
Okay, I saw it about 20 times. Now, in the playoffs, maybe once or twice.
Hmm.
So, you know, it happens. It's emotion, man. People, see, like when people are sitting on their couch and they're watching NBA playoffs and they're making judgments and they say, I can't believe he missed that, or I can't. Yeah, well, those same people, you put them out there doing a timeout, you tell them to make a simple free throw, they shoot an air ball. Because they finally feel it. That's what players go through. Now, we've been conditioned. We should be able to fight through it. And for the most part, we do. But every now and then, you're going to have a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
An emotional meltdown. Here was his meltdown, okay? He's struggling as a basketball player. He's feeling the pressure of LeBron James and his expectations. When you play with great players, they do put some expectations on you that's really self-motivated. Not that they did it. It's just you feel the pressure. Rodney Hood is feeling that. He has not performed well. He's hesitant on the court. He struggled, all right? And then, lo and behold, right, Ty Lue doesn't even put him in at the designated time that he normally puts him in. He puts in an Osman in, right? And he's sitting over there, and he's hurt. No doubt about it. He's emotional. Everything is, he's having a party inside. He doesn't know what to say. He loses himself because he was probably pumped up to go out there and finally get in right rhythm to play well for them. He didn't get that chance. They blow out. They're having a good time. He doesn't handle emotion right. They told him to go in, and he said, "Coach, I'm good." I've seen it so many times.
Mm.
Now, Rodney Hood has done the right thing today. He's apologized. He's going to apologize to his team, and they'll be good with it. You know why? Because they have seen it before.
Got it. Got it. That's good stuff. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight as always, and stay in touch.
All right, man. No problem.
You got
okay.
It. All right. It's EJ. It's good to catch up with EJ. SiriusXM does a great job 1 to 4 in the afternoons, Pacific time. I listen to his show often, and there's really good stuff there. Really, really good, passionate stuff. If I asked him about LeBron, we'd still be going into hour number, I don't know, 3 or 4, which is fine. I love EJ and his passion. Back with more after this time out. All right, before we get out of here, the news cycle later today is going to take a turn in recruiting. And if you are an Arizona State football fan or a U of A football fan, you're going to be disappointed because there's going to be some announcements later today on the recruiting circle that are involving in-state kids that are not going to go to either in-state school again. So I'm just telling you that's going to happen later today, and you can check it out on the website at sports360az.com, and that'll come down later today. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man. He did not screw up today. I screwed up a few times today. I've been fighting allergies. No excuse. I got to be better than that. All right? You make it a great day. Thanks for being with us.